So welcome back to the second part of the podcast episode from One Plant to 40 Plus Global Sites, a Bayer Technologies scaling success story featuring David Kaltmeyer from Bayer as well as Brandon Johnson from Index. They are going to be talking in the second part about the challenges that they had to face when scaling the OEE technology from one site to 40 plus sites. But they're also going to be covering some of the benefits that they achieved from doing that. So let's dig right into it. Enjoy.
So it seems like you had the scaling problem, or at least some scaling challenges, I should say. And that seems to be one of the biggest challenges in general with scaling when it comes to technology implementation. So if you could you explain to our listeners how you solved that scaling problem? And perhaps you could also talk about some of the additional challenges, new challenges that this introduced.
Yeah, sure. So to set the timeline, we were really having this conversation about 5 years ago. And so we knew there were some options. We looked at the technology available at the time. You know, 5 years ago, cloud solutions were really starting to become prominent in the manufacturing industry. And we saw this as an opportunity to potentially leverage some of the newer cloud technology to accelerate the scaling of this OEE solution. But you know, it did come certainly with some challenges. First was just kind of the unknown. While you know Bayer and you know an Index had some experience with cloud solutions, we didn't have experience together within the manufacturing sites at Bayer in this domain that we had been working together on for the last few years with that kind of technology. So there were questions about you know, the typical cloud questions, data ownership. You know, Bayer, a lot of the internal stakeholders, I think, were hesitant to expose, you know, production data that, you know, is very proprietary and important and has a lot of strategic value that typically lived behind a firewall in the individual plants to a cloud solution. So there were a lot of discussions around, you know, what that would look like, the pros and cons and the security considerations around that. There was also the kind of the specter of standardization. You know, all manufacturing programs start, I think, with a goal to standardize across multiple sites. But then once you actually try to do it, every site has, you know, their own special use cases, and, you know, they all have usually a very compelling story about why they're special and different from all the other sites in the organization. And so there's always some work to try to customize or extend a solution so that it can fit those edge use cases of a site. When you're in a cloud environment, typically it really is one solution, one front end, one back end being used by the entire organization. So there's potentially less room for those customizations, which is great from an IT perspective, mm-hmm. because standard solutions are easier to maintain over time. But it can be a difficult sale to the site stakeholders. And so the human element there was definitely something that we discussed. And then, you know, lastly, we already had an OEE solution that we built on premises at this Constantine, Michigan facility. And there were questions about how do we leverage what we already built to make sure that we don't lose momentum and, you know, frankly, waste some of the effort that we had in this original proof of concept. So, you know, those were all some of the challenges that we discussed at the beginning of this second phase of the OEE program.
Yeah, I you know, I'm laughing a little bit internally because I think about my own change management curve with going to cloud. You know, this was proposed by a couple IT guys before, you know, Brandon and I started looking at this, and I didn't want anything to do with it. One, you know, we didn't from the OT side didn't trust our IT partnerships. We didn't understand, we didn't think they had the capacity, understood the availability needs of manufacturing data and manufacturing processes. So there was a lot of change management just on the technical side to even approach a topic like this. you know, Brandon mentioned the, you know, the pros. There's a lot of pros with this that I've discovered as the owner of a system with this. I don't have to update software. That's on the vendor now to update software, patches, ensure compatibility, ensure backwards compatibility with everything that they do in the solution. I have one solution now. I don't have to manage 100 different applications located on the site. I don't have to LCM servers at each one of these sites every 3 years when OS changes. I don't have to patch and update servers based on our security and compliance with our infrastructure systems. You know, some of the cons still for me, you know, what isn't con about the system? It's cons in the way we think about our OT systems. And like I said, my own personal change curve is getting the right firewall security clearances to stream manufacturing data outside the manufacturing site, outside those four walls that we've been so accustomed to having, and getting that data into a cloud application. That was a huge challenge for us. And like I said, it's not a con, but it's just something that we had to consider to do. New security administration. You know, we've moved to an Azure AD now versus local ADs at our site to manage the Active Directory of our users. But also with that comes pros about one place to manage that now within the application. So there's a lot of benefits on the configuration software sides of that. And believe me, having 27 years and that many sites to LCM servers and software and patches and everything else, that's a huge pro in my opinion. You know, talk about some of the organizational challenges besides the change management. It is that standardization. Now that we have one application, this really forces us to standardize our processes at all those sites. If we want to use the same configuration and the same rules of data ingestion or calculations, we have to standardize. And so that was a huge effort for us to make sure that we had to do our homework and all the work ahead of time to make sure we had standard inputs into the software. That's our automation standardization, you know, just really trying to keep it simple, trying to make sure that we all use the same effort and the same programs. Yeah, so just from a support standpoint, like I said, I mentioned that just the software piece of it, but you know, it's a partnership. We do partnership with industry excellence to help us maintain and provide application maintenance support. They work with all of our sites globally. They are the level 2 support and level 3 support for this application for us. We do have an invested resources in each one of our regions globally to help us with level 1 support and to triage things to understand if it's an automation issue or if it really is the application in the cloud that we need support and help with.
We will briefly pause the conversation to mention that we have a webinar coming up on September 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time called Revealed Game-Changing Tactics for Operations, A Glimpse into the Future. It features two speakers, Iro Esko and Timur Yaprak from Siemens, who will be talking about the digital transformation strategies and how the industrial operations of the future could look like for companies and the process industries. We will include the registration link in the show notes, so click on it and we'll see you there. So you've obviously succeeded in the implementation of the OE system since you are now live in more than 40 sites worldwide, which is really, really impressive. So first of all, congratulations on that achievement. Now, how have you been able to turn the fact that you now have this technology available in so many plans into tangible business results? So Bayer, you mentioned early on that some of the ways that you decide where to spend your budget money has to do with where there is tangible business results. So I'm assuming there must have been some pretty significant impact on the Bayer business as a result of this project.
Yeah, no, thanks for the question, Jonas. Yeah, that's always the thing question we get asked is what was the business value? And you know, it is hard to capture true business value as far as exact dollar savings or euro savings. you know, I think with this tool like OEE, you know, one of the examples, we have 9 dedicated soybean processing facilities in the U.S. Where we take soybeans from our harvest. We receive them, clean them, condition them, treat and package during a season. You know, so imagine this harvest window, you know, it's very limited from October through December. Well, all that seed from the fields have to be harvested and they have to be brought in, processed, quality sampled, tested, and put onto inventory for next year's sales. And for our marketing system teams to get insights into what the inventory is for them to go out and sell for that next campaign. Well, this process, you know, completed in a short time frame and availability assets is essential to get the maximum throughput through these facilities to avoid downtime. So the play here is around downtime in this short harvest window. You know, in this conditioning step, our OEE system was utilized and provided a time series analysis of the bottlenecks and availability loss in the conditioning process, which ultimately reduced the performance of the step. The use of this data was then leveraged to build the capital expenditure justification based on a replacement of old conditioning tower elevators and equipment and of procuring new equipment. You know, by procuring the new equipment, the team demonstrated an 18% increase in our OEE in this conditioning process. And that's huge for us. And that's just 1 out of the 9. And so you take those learnings, and this is where best practice sharing comes in, tied to our OE program around our servant leadership and lean to be able to share these best practices. You know, the team had no visibility into that before this, in this conditioning process. But by having the system, the team could easily identify this low-hanging fruit, focus their operational excellence program on it, and address it. And besides the 18% increase in OEE, you know, the facility is able to produce more, has become a more reliable supplier to our customers. You know, it's not just a one-time effort. It is a continuous cycle of plan, do, check, and act, and the next bottleneck will be addressed. You know, I think about another example in our corn processing facilities. You know, people know what, you know, corn on the cob is, right? They know the process of taking that husk off the corn and all the silk that comes with that corn. Well, imagine bringing in 30 million ears of corn a day. Yeah, 30 million into one facility that you have to dehusk, that's do that same process. And you have to know that corn has all the husks removed from it before you can bring it into your facility. Well, that process, you know, it's fully automated. It utilizes imaging techniques to determine if the husk is removed, you know, really the complete step of good quality or bad quality. But this particular site has 4 lines, 6 huskers per line. And just with that sheer volume of corn going through that facility, there's no way for an operator to visually see the performance and quality being affected by the dehusking step. But with the OEE system installed and the automation system providing that data, it was easy to see that huskers weren't performing that step appropriately. The team then takes action and addresses root cause and finds camera misalignments or in-feed speeds are too fast or other things that are affecting that performance. But these harvest windows are really short, and that seed has to move from field to facility to allow us to have that on inventory makes huge step changes. But like I said, it's not a one-time effort. It's a continuous cycle and chasing the bottlenecks with a system like OEE. Brandon, anything you want to add there?
I think you said it really well. You know, OEE doesn't solve problems on its own. You know, it's not magic. It helps you identify the problems and shows you where your bottlenecks are, where your choke points are in your process. And then it's really up to the organization, and I think this is where Bear has done a really great job, to apply the right remedy to whatever the data is showing you. So whether it's you know, new capital equipment, or whether it's just training of the operators on an existing process to improve their efficiency. And once you have the data, you can stop kind of groping blindly and really focus your efforts and your continuous improvement process to get the results that you're looking for. And the key when you start a project like this is to think about the long term. Think about the continuous improvement cycle. Because we started, you know, back at the beginning of this story with one, you know, on-prem installation of an OE solution at one site in Michigan. And then we expanded to 40 sites, and we're still expanding, because, you know, there are more than 40 left to go. But the getting the solution installed and used at the site isn't the end of the story. The solution is going to give you data that's going to lead to the next improvement, the next innovation, and having a plan for success. When your OEE project succeeds, you need to understand that it's going to lead to more insights and more projects after that. And you really need to have that long-term vision of how do we capitalize on the data that the solution is going to show us so that we can keep driving improvement in our process. And again, I think, you know, Bear has done a really great job with that over the years that we've been working with them.
So a lot of great successes. That's great to hear the outcome and some exciting things still to come. So that's great. As we move towards the end here of our interview, one of the things that we always like to leave our listeners with are some key takeaways or lessons learned. Are there some key lessons learned you could identify?
Yeah, just, you know, building on to what Brandon just mentioned about OEE and the 40 plus sites that we've scaled to. I mean, it's been nothing short of phenomenal in my career to see a technology. That's what I've been striving for, is how can I scale faster to provide this type of solution to plants. But listeners may be asking, well, why not all 100, right? What's the challenge of getting all of them immediately if it's so scalable? And it is. But this is just the technology side of it. You know, digital transformation is not just about technology. It's about people, process, and technology. And you have to assess the readiness of your sites each time, the readiness of the people to adopt. And those are huge pieces that if you don't invest in understanding that, putting in a solution, scaling it, getting the technology side ready is fine. But if people aren't there to use it and utilize the assets and the systems the way they're designed, you won't receive the benefits from it. And so just from our lessons learned within Bear, you know, we developed a launch and adoption squad to help us with, because we do see the future of cloud computing being able to help accelerate other areas of our manufacturing operations or other parts of our production processes. And we have to get our people ready for that and help them understand and launch and sustain these solutions long-term. That's one area. The other one is we've invested a lot in understanding the readiness from a technical maturity standpoint, from a people maturity standpoint, and how we can standardize processes across like sites out of this ecosystem that we have within Bear. And so I think those are some great learnings and great things that we are going to continue to use and operate with.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, five years ago when we started talking about this project and looking at cloud technology, you know, as I said earlier, it was a little scary for everybody because this was new technology with, you know, new risks. And one of the things that Bear, I think to their credit, kind of made a leap of faith on was early adoption of the cloud solutions that ended up, you know, being the foundation of this OEE solution that's been rolled out to all these sites. You know, at the beginning, it was new software, and the software development roadmap was really in early stages. It wasn't as mature of a product as the on-prem solution that we had just implemented at the Constantine facility during the pilot. And so there were some questions about, you know, does this do everything that we need it to do? And, you know, it's always a question and a risk when you're out on the cutting edge and you're an early adopter of new software. But some of the benefits of that, and I think, you know, Bear saw that, is we were able to partner with the software vendor who was Siemens, and look at their long-term development roadmap together with Bear. And since Bear was such an early adopter and such a large strategic customer, we were really able to work together and influence that software development roadmap And, you know, Siemens was great about letting us prioritize in their roadmap the features and functionality that were going to have the most value for Bear going forward. And, you know, maybe everything wasn't there on day one, but because of that partnership and, you know, the leverage that we had being an early adopter, we were able to get more confidence that the features that we really needed would be there when we needed them, and we were going to have the support that we needed going forward. That really did take a leap of faith at the beginning of the project. And, you know, we saw a lot of risk there. I think maybe we didn't understand the benefits at the beginning of the project, but it ended up, you know, working nicely during this program.
Thank you so much for that wrap up to both of you. It was especially interesting to hear about the collaboration between Index, between Bayer and Siemens as well. So thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for a great conversation to both of you. I thought it was extremely insightful, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same way, especially hearing about the great success of the scaling that you were able to do and the benefit that it's now providing to Bayer overall. Sounds like you still have some work to do with additional plants being brought online, but with the experience that you already have from scaling in as many plants as you have, I'm sure that's going to help you move things forward. So thank you very much to both of you for being with us here today.
Well, thank you. Thanks. It's really been great.
Yeah, thank you, Jonas and Don. Really appreciate the opportunity to share this story.
Thanks again, David and Brandon. And with that, we're at the end of the episode. If you have any questions about any of the topics that were discussed here today about OEE, please reach out to David and Brandon directly. Their email addresses are included in the show notes. And as usual, Don and I are always open to your comments, your thoughts, your feedback on the show or the topics. And you can also find our contact information in the show notes. One thing I'd like to add here, that if you have any good suggestions for speakers or guests on the show, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you liked what you heard today, please help spread the word by rating the show. And if you're not already a subscriber and would like to be notified when new episodes are released, please subscribe to the series. Thank you for listening to this episode of Digitalization Tech Talks.